We're going to kind of go off of something that lit up in me when I was listening to what he taught. He was actually talking, I think, at the moment about, college isn't for everybody, and it is for some, it's not for all. You know, I don't even remember where all you went from there, but we got to listen to our spirit when it comes to our kids. We got to listen to our spirit when it comes to ourselves, and we can't just be conformed to this world, and this is what you're supposed to do and when you're supposed to do it, and get under that pressure. And man, it just, the word fulfillment just rose up on the inside of me, and I talked to John and Dylan about it last week, but we're going to call it the fulfilling will of God. Because if you're walking in the will of God, and we'll talk about how to know that will here in a minute, but if you're walking in the will of God, there is a fulfillment that comes with that walk with Him and knowing that you are walking in His will that nothing else can give you. And the world is full of the word achievement. What have you done? What can you do? You know, an accomplishment. And those aren't bad things, but they're not always fulfilling things. And anybody over the age of 50 has probably figured that out by now, that a whole lot of doing doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot of fulfillment. And so people are trying to satisfy their soul with achievement, and they never reach the state of fulfillment. The God life, the life that God has for you will be fulfilling. Now that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. And one of the first things God said to me, just in thought, is what I mean when I say that. God said to me through my thoughts was, fulfillment does not mean comfortable. And I couldn't help but think about the Apostle Paul. If anybody should be fulfilled, it's the Apostle Paul. He was educated, highly educated, lots of achievements. In fact, he lists them for you in Scripture. But then you know what he says? I'll use the word dung because that's what he used. Our English language, we would use another word, but I don't want to offend any old people. So I'm young, I can handle it. But I'm another year older since y'all saw me last too. And another year down in marriage. Today is our 24th wedding anniversary. I know, is that crazy? 24 good years. Challenges, yes, but good years, yes. And it takes a special man to be married to a woman minister. And Brad said, amen. Okay, I was looking for that other amen in the house. Anyway, fulfillment doesn't mean comfortable. Sometimes fulfilling the will of God might be uncomfortable. This is uncomfortable. There's not a day that I wake up that I go, I want to go stand in front of a couple of hundred people and let them evaluate what I have on and what I'm saying. If my hair is done right, I don't wake up and want that. Stephen Furtick might, but Susan Dawn does not. And I'm not saying he does. I love him. Comfortable. Sometimes we look for comfortable. Sometimes we look for the rut in the road that's just the easiest thing to fall into and stay on. And I believe part of the congregation today is going to be urged to get out of that rut of comfortable and easy when you know what God's called you to do. Look, when you need a paycheck, a job is great. And a job can be a step towards what God's called you to do. And sometimes you take those steps. Man, I'm getting way ahead of myself. That's all right. We'll get back on track here in a minute. It's great. You got to pay the bills. You got to feed the family. You got to do things. But don't, once you get into the comfort of the rut, get stuck in the rut. Because there may come a time when God tells you to leave what you knew, as did Abram, in order for him to take you to a place that he wants you in life, a life of fulfillment, a life of, oh my goodness, look what Abram just being obedient did for us. Yeah. We're sitting here because Abram was obedient. Amen. The blessings of Abraham are ours. Well, he had to walk out of comfortable. There came a day that God said, this is the day that you step out and leave. When John has shared his and Mandy's story with us, by the way, happy belated birthday to Mandy as well, that there came a day that they had to leave comfortable. Why? Because there's something out there. There is something out there that God needs to get you to. And so God's been pushing me and just in these words, okay, where are you at? Because I'm in a place that I could be comfortable. I guess this is for me. One of the biggest deceptions is comparison. And I don't know if y'all heard Corinne's lesson, her Sunday school lesson a couple of weeks ago, where she brought this scripture up and talked about the danger of comparison. But I want to go there to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And, you know, this passage right here is actually comparison in ministry, but it could apply, the truth of it can apply to any situation. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm reading it out of the ESV. Verse 12, jumping in the middle here. Please read above and below so you get the context of it when you get home. It says, not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves. But when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. So if I'm falling into the trap of comparison, there's something I'm not understanding. God's my maker. Exactly. Praise God. He knows my makeup. He knows where he can use me most effectively. He knows what will be most satisfying to me. And God is not out to jeopardize your life. He's not, he is there to use us for the good of the kingdom, but he also wants his children to be satisfied. And when we go comparing ourselves with each other, and this is a huge thing, and I want to hit the young adults in the room real quick. Because when you start hitting, you know, 18, 19, people don't care that you don't know what you want to do. They were there too, and they're like, I mean, some people know what they want to do from the moment they're born, but most people, you're finding it, right? You're finding it. And so when you start getting in this 20s to 30 range, then you start looking around you. Everybody in my group is now married. I'm not married. Everybody in my group is having kids. I don't have kids. Everybody in my group has a career. With a 401k and insurance. I'm flipping burgers. I mean, we start comparing. And you know what comparison does? Either causes pride or discouragement. Yeah, right. Neither one is wise. Yep. Both of those things, it's void of understanding. God knows who you are. And God knows who you are in his plan of things. And at some point, you have to say, God, where you lead me, what you take me to, there, as long as I know I'm in your will, I will be satisfied. See, satisfied's not a bad word. We're kind of taught in America, they're just satisfied. Satisfied doesn't mean you're through. It means you're content as you move through. And that's something that our culture has really got to learn because we want instant gratification. That is not what the scripture teaches.
Right.
We can be content and we can be satisfied while.
Amen. Yeah.
And if you don't, you're always going to be looking for the next thing. How many of you have raised children? Did you ever find yourself going, oh, I can't wait till they can crawl? You stand them, poor little old things, you stand them up before they're ready, put them in a walker, and oh, I can't wait till they can walk. Oh, I can't wait until this. And then you get my age and you're going, why did I rush that? Where did that time go? You know, we're always pushing for the next thing. I can't wait to get the promotion. Well, once you get the promotion, you find out why your boss did things the way they did, and they weren't as stupid as you thought they were. Because then you're there, and then you've got the weight of it. And so we're always pushing. Can we not grow in contentment? It's pretty much my whole sermon without any of the scripture. When they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. But we will not boast beyond limits, but we will boast only with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us to reach even to you. This whole passage is crazy good. But I love that he says, the only place I can boast is in the area of influence that God has assigned to me. And when you go to looking at other people's assignments and comparing yourself to them, that's apples and oranges, folks. And it's never going to match up. And the sooner we learn that lesson, the better. And some people, I don't know that they ever figure it out. Although most of us by about 58 kind of get a clue. We've got to walk the path that God has laid for us. Amen. And it's the only way that we're going to live fulfilled. How can you know the will of God? Scripture. And I know a lot of people, they go, well, you know, yes, the Word of God is the will of God. If you've been around here very long, you've heard that. The Word of God is the will of God. The Word of God is the will of God. But yet when we look in it, we don't always know, should I move back to Russellville or should I stay in Northwest Arkansas? Now, I can give you a word on that. He would be selfish. But, you know, those are questions. Do I retire now? Do I retire later? Do I go to college? Do I just get out of school and get a job? I'll never forget sound advice one of my uncles gave me. He said, Susan, just because you love somebody doesn't mean you need to marry them. Do you know that has stuck with me now? I mean, it's like every person that walks in my office, I'm like, sweetheart, just because you love that guy doesn't mean you need to marry him. We want to be in the will of God. Because if we're in the will of God, we can be satisfied. We can be content. I don't know if God told me to marry Rusty or not, but his sister did. And so we had supper with her last night. We were laughing about it. It was your tacos. That's right. How can I know the will of God? The will of God is going to come from the Word of God. And even though it doesn't tell you who to marry, what job to take, when you start reading the Word of God, it starts narrowing your choices for you. Yes. And I know you've heard this and it's kind of cliche, but the Word of God does read us. It defines us. And so when you start reading the Word and you think you're just reading the Word, you think you're just reading a story about Abraham and Sarah, and then you find out God's telling you what you were thinking. It wasn't Ishmael. It wasn't the promise. It was you getting distracted and you getting delayed and you getting tired of waiting and you making your own decision and your own choice, and now you've picked that road. Now God's got to do something with that road that you chose. And a wrong choice can be a dead end, but it doesn't have to be a dead end. Because I've watched it over and over again in my own life. I've watched it over and over again in Scripture. When you take a wrong turn, when you make a wrong choice, what God can do with that, and it simply becomes part of your testimony. When you let God direct you. But wouldn't the ideal thing to be for me to know the will of God and turn that way? All the people over 50 said amen. Amen. The Word of God will reveal the will of God to you. I don't know how else to tell you, but it's going to be about a relationship with you and the Word. with you and God, where you're talking to Him. God can handle what you have to say. I say that to people all the time. He can handle what you have to say. He already knows your heart. And sometimes you verbalizing to Him what you're thinking, then it starts this conversation with Him. And sometimes you just get this feeling on the inside of you, what you just said to God was really stupid. Like when you say it, when you say your plan to God, and then you're like, oh, okay, now I know how stupid that really sounds. I mean, I've done it. It's like, God, I'm thinking, you know. And then when I say it, it's like, no, that was not the correct answer. And so having a conversation, this is about relationship with God. He wants you to know His will. He's not hiding His will from you. He wants you to know His will. So talk to Him about it. And I don't get up in the mornings and ask Him what to wear. Some days I might should, but I don't get up in the mornings and ask Him. But you know what? If I was going on a job interview, I would. And if I look at something and you don't have peace about it, if I look at a decision and I don't have peace about it, that unrest, that lack of peace is God saying, uh-uh. So we're looking for a burning bush, but He speaks to us from the inside. He is that whisper in our ear saying this way or that way. And when we go against that, we know it. We do. We do. And so it's about this relationship. How are you going to know the will of God? First of all, put yourself in the Word of God. And I'm going to say, put yourself in an atmosphere of God. Church is an atmosphere of God. Why? Because you've got somebody from the outside who may say something, and you know they don't know what you're struggling with right now on the inside of you, but then they give this scripture or they say sing this song, and it zings you. You know, like you want to come up off your seat because you know that's for you. So put yourself in the Word of God. Put yourself in the atmosphere of God through prayer, through church, through good books, good teachings, good music. Because it's an avenue for God to minister to you. Because if you're just going to make your decision and you're just going to do what you're going to do, God can be speaking, but you are not going to be hearing. Have you ever had one of those kids or grandkids that you tell them no and they look at you while they do what you just told them? I don't know that I have any of those, but I might. And like they know you're telling them don't. And they're looking at you while they're doing it and you're going, mm-mm. Mm-mm. And they know. I know. I know because God put something on the inside of me. He put the Spirit on the inside of me. And that Spirit is not silent. The Holy Spirit came to guide me. He came to be the Spirit of truth for me. That means I know the difference between a truth and a lie. I know the difference between truth and deception. Something inside of me goes off and goes, mm-mm, or uh-huh, that's it. That's it. That's it right there. Rusty and I had promised to, I think on a Wednesday night, I had promised to tell y'all the story when it was finished. It's finished. Praise God. Praise God. So when Rusty and I built out on my granny's land, there was some acreage behind us, and we built at the back of our acreage. So our driveway is like a half a mile long, and it puts us over close to Davie Road, which my neighbor's back there on. And, you know, we thought, oh, this is great. You know, we're back here. We go through the gate. Nobody can see our house, and, you know, it's great. We're isolated. It's wonderful. We love it. And, in fact, not since last night when the gate swung open and closed behind us did we say, oh, it's just so good to be home. And so We got home and, you know, we built this home, and every time we look out our kitchen window, there's this land behind us. And different people that would come over would say, man, do y'all own that land? No, we don't own that land. Oh, what are you going to do if they put a subdivision over there? Going to love our neighbor, I guess. But, you know, and we're like, oh, we need to find out about this land, Nathan. And so we started finding out who owned it, and wasn't people that lived in Russellville, and they weren't ever going to live in Russellville. They had inherited the land. And so that gave us the right to believe for it. Now, we can't go in and believe for somebody's land that loves their granny's land and is not going to sell it. Okay? That's selfish, and we can't do that. But when we found out that this land was not wanted by the family, then we began to believe for it. Well, everybody's trying to get me to make an offer on it, and, you know, it just wasn't right. I knew the land was ours, but the time was not right to move. It wasn't right to move on it. And so 5.5 years later, we're still calling it our land. We look out the window, and I'll say, hey, babe, there's our land. You know, I mean, literally, we do this every day. Every day. And so one day I looked at Rusty and Donnie Arnold. I don't think Donnie's here today, but Donnie Arnold and his wife Gail had made us this wood sign at another property that we had that said Rusty and Susan. I said, let's get that sign. It was in his shop. I said, let's go hang it on that tree. So we get that. The thought came to me to do that. Now, that's not the devil. The devil would never do that. He would never say, hey, Susan, go get that sign that Donnie Arnold made you and hang it on. I knew this was a step of faith, right? And I knew the time must be getting close because God was making, he was, as he did with Abram and Sarah, he was changing my name. He was changing our image. That was our land. We'd been saying it, but God was taking us into another step. So we went out there. I took pictures of it. I've got pictures of it. Rusty nails the sign up, and praise God. I take pictures of the land. We don't step on theirs. We just right there on our line. And then the day came that I felt like I was supposed to approach. So I approached. We got a price. I didn't like it. I am Tom Underhill's daughter. And I'll buy anything if it's cheap enough. And so I didn't like the price, and so I just sat on it. And one day, it's like it was not my daddy, but it was like I could hear his voice saying this to me. Because he had said it about a piece of land that he had bought. He said, it may seem high now, but in 10 years, it would be a good buy. And I was like, God, what are you telling me? I'm going to have to give full price for this. I like real estate. I like a bargain in real estate. That's how I made it in my single years, was buying and selling. And yeah, I knew I was going to have to pay full price. I knew it. I know, Mark. Don't look at me like that. I know it's hard. It's like when God told me to give that property. Yeah. Some things are hard, but you have to sit on it, and if it stays with you and there's a peace with it, even though I don't like it in my head, there was a peace on the inside of me. I knew we needed to buy that land. And so we went out. We hadn't heard back from him. Like weeks are passing, we hadn't heard back from him. I said, let's cut the fence. Wasn't their fence, our fence. We get the cutters, and we go out there, and we cut the fence. I stick my toe over there on the other side. I have scriptural. Any place that your foot shall tread. It's ours. It's a done deal. Ours. It's ours. But point being, even though you know something is a God-given desire, the timing may not be right. And what does it take when time is involved? Patience. And I'm going to say maturity. Yes, that's it right there. Because when God tells you something, if God tells you and you think you're called into the ministry and you feel the call of God on your life, here's my advice. Whoa. Whoa. Grow. Abraham and Sarah, you're going to have a child. Well, when it didn't happen overnight, when it didn't happen in the next couple of months, then, yeah, it's the will of God, but this is how I'm going to get it. And that's when mistakes are made. I know you know this. This is not my usual message, but whoa. Until God says, and I looked at Rusty one day and I said, God gave me the green light, let's go. I'm making the phone call. No, I didn't tell you. I surprised you, didn't I? Sorry. Sometimes I do these things to him. He'll be like, I bought a crossbow. I said, I bought 40 acres. Oh, we're funny. This is how we've made it for 24 years. We have fun doing it. The word will begin to reveal to you what's in you and what isn't. And he can save us a world of trouble. And just because you can doesn't mean you should. And just because you love someone doesn't mean you should marry them. And just because it's offered to you does not mean you should take it.
Yep. Come on, that's good, Susan.
Yep. Oh, God just plopped this in my lap. You need to make sure it's God that just plopped it in your lap. Amen. Because I've had some things put before me that were not God. I had a great ministry offer me a position when I was single. Housing. Great ministry. Come up here, get on our ministry staff, blah, blah. It was exciting. I needed something new. I thought, oh God, you're just opening this door for me. But when I lay my head down at night, there was not rest. You know why? Here was where I was called to be. Here was where I was called to be. And so just because it's offered to you, and this is going to save somebody. Just because it's offered to you doesn't mean you should take it. Could and should are two totally different words. Moses could have stayed in the house of Pharaoh and been comfortable. He could have been more than comfortable, Sarah, let's face it. He was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. He was living in the palace. He could have stayed there and lived a life of comfort. But if you're in the will of God, your life will be fruitful, not just comfortable. Fruitful. And isn't that what satisfaction is? Fruitful. It takes us back to John 15. It takes us back to the study that we did for weeks on us being connected to Him and what flows through us and what's produced through us because of that connection. And He wants us to live that life. He needs us to live that life. But Moses left the palace to fulfill the will of God, not just for himself, but for others that were held captive. And he dealt with hard-to-deal-with people. His new job outside the palace was not pleasant every day. Even God called these people stiff-necked. And God is love. Yes, he is. And he said, you are a rebellious, stiff-necked people. And here's Moses to be your leader. Leave the palace, Moses. Go lead these people that I call stiff-necked. He had opposition. But he was in the right place. He was in the right place. At every turn, God directed him and fulfilled his promise. Fulfillment's what you're searching for. And that can only come through living in the will of God. Go with me to 1 Timothy 6. I got to get some more verses in here. You know, when I went to looking at verses on satisfaction and fulfillment, I was a little bit overwhelmed. You know, I thought maybe four or five. Oh my goodness. If that, just do a little search on scriptures on fulfillment and satisfaction, contentment, and just look at what pulls up to you. Because it is important to God. 1 Timothy 6. Just verse 6 alone is just like, godliness with contentment is great gain. Please read above. Please read the first five verses with it. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment is important. It's important. He says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Oh, achievements, achievements, achievements. Achievements can go in the trash, Paul said. They're waste. Just achievements for the sake of achievement. And that's really where our culture is. Just achieve. What's your achievements? My kid did this. My kid did that. My kid did this. Yeah, but who are your kids? Do you even know who your children are? Do you even know what's on the inside of them? Are you just wanting them to achieve what you did not achieve? God's got something placed in you and in your children that is special to Him, that no one else has, that no one else can fulfill in the same way that you can fulfill.
Come on, Susie. Come on, that's good.
I've raised kids, I know. Right now, I'd like to tell you all about the game that went into overtime while I was back there in the study that my grandson played, but that would be listing his achievements that they won. Okay. And then you'll want to tell me about your kids' grandkids' game and how they won. Look, I understand we love our kids, and it's great. I love to hear about your kids. I hope you love to hear about mine because I have the mic every Sunday, and I'm certainly going to get them in the message somewhere. But if it's all about achievements and not about who Braden is, who Emily is, who Jordan Paul is, who Jet is, who Grisham is, who Grayson is. If it's not about who they are, and when I have the kids overnight and I go over and I pray over them while they're awake but in their beds, I call out what I see in them. Father, we thank you for Emily. Oh, Father, what a nurturer you've created. What a nurturing spirit. What a helper, Father. And we're praying over, I'm not going to go through all six of them. God put something, and we need to be calling out those things more than we're calling out achievements. The achievements will come when they know who they are in Christ. Nancy Dufresne has a great series out. You can pull it up on her page or on YouTube, and Dufresne is not spelt anything like Dufresne, so get the spelling from Cherie or me after church, because it's not phonetically correct. But it's called In Christ I Can. In Christ I Can. Can you leave the palace and go lead stubborn people and go come against opposition and in it? In Christ I can. If God tells me that's my assignment, I can. Joseph, can you go? Can you get over being thrown in the pit by your brothers and being sold into slavery, being accused of rape, being in jail? Joseph, can you save the nation in famine? Yes. If you say that's what I'm supposed to do, yes, I can. Susan, can you, as a woman in the South, pastor a church and it survive? God, if you tell me that's my assignment, yes, I can. Can you stay on your job in the face of adversity with the job you currently have because God knows there's a change coming? We've seen this before in Rusty's past employment. We've seen a whole shift of upper management. If he'd have told us to leave, we would have left, but he told us to stay. Therefore, God reassigned assignments. See, do we trust him? Are we content while we wait? Because godliness with contentment is great gain. What's godliness with discontentment? Coda's trying to preach to me this morning, aren't you, buddy? That's my buddy back there. I want to skip for a moment. He talks about the love of money being the root of all evil and coveting. But in verse 11, he says, but you, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, Godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. So when you're coming to a decision, are you following that line for righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness? See, the word can help narrow things down for you. Hey, this is great. This is a great achievement. If I can do this, this is a great achievement. This will look great on my resume. Yes, but is it righteous? Does it cause me to follow righteousness or follow achievement? The word will begin to narrow down our choices. Go to Psalm 37:3. I know y'all are, I shouldn't say that. We've heard it. We're going to hear it again. Psalm 37:3. King James Version. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord. You look that word delight up, it means to be soft and pliable. All right, God, here I am. That word delight, soft and pliable. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? See, delight yourself in the Lord. Father, you know me better than I know me. I've let my past and I've let other people's words alter me and shape me. But Father, I place myself. You know who I really am. You know what's in me. You know my talents. You know my abilities. You know my callings. I delight myself in you. I'm pliable. I'm soft in your hands. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. So you think you want one thing, but what you're really wanting is another. You think you want achievement. What you're really wanting is fulfillment. So delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. My dad used to tell me, he doesn't just give you what you want, but he'll give you the desires. He will actually give you desires. Suddenly you will desire to do certain things if you allow your desires to be soft and pliable in his hands. Then your desires begin to change. What you want begins to change. We've lived that, haven't we? Amen. So delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And then you commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Oh, I look back at Abram and Sarah. They knew the will of God, but they tried to bring it to pass themselves. So God, I see what you're doing. I see what you've got in mind for me. Now, my steps are going to be ordered of the Lord, right? The steps are going to be ordered of the Lord. Instead of us trying to force it to come to pass, commit your way, the way. You got to commit the way. Father, how are you going to do this? How are you going to commit the way? Verse 6, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the new day. Rest in the Lord. See, if it's us doing the doing, there is no rest. Amen. You'll wear yourself out trying to get where you're trying to go. There won't be rest. But if we commit our way to him, then we can rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself. These people are just driving me nuts. No, you're fretting yourself because you haven't committed the way. Oh, my kids just drive me nuts. Yeah, you're fretting yourself because you haven't committed the way. This is all connected together. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently, and fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way. You know what he's doing right there? He's saying, quit comparing yourself. Quit comparing your success to somebody else's success. Because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. You're going to see people prosper doing it the wrong way. Whether that's marriage, raising kids, jobs, prosperity, ministry, you're going to see people look like they're prospering doing it the wrong way. Well, there's only one right way for you, and that's the way that God has for you. So don't get caught up in saying, oh, man, y'all, there is so much pressure on pastors and ministries to grow in number, not fruitfulness, in number. Because you know what's behind numbers? You can look at it two ways, hearts and money. And there is studies that you can do on how to grow your congregation. I think the apostles would probably say, just preach the word with demonstration of power and the people will come. Amen. Just do what you're called to do. But there is really, there's studies. You can have these people come in. They'll study the geographics and the dynamics of the area and who you need to target. That's fretting. That's not resting. That's not committing. That's not delighting. So even in ministry, whatever it is you're in, don't look at other people. And I remember Tim Brooks saying this. He said, people look at him and Terry and they'll say, we want a marriage just like yours. He's like, you should have seen it 30 years ago. See, we look at other people's marriages, people that have worked through things, or people that just write good things on social media and they're really living in hell at home. And we say we want that. We're being deceived. Don't let discouragement and delay steer you in the wrong direction. Discouragement and delay. You know, when I went back to Genesis 15 and was looking at Abraham and Sarah, let's just go there. We got time. Can I pull a John Burge? If we go long but you get something, would it be worth it? I heard that got pulled up at youth camp too. We have our Burge sayings. We call it being Burged, but around the office. He has his own cliche. Just go to chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am your shield and thy exceeding great reward. Whew. What are you going to do with that? God comes to you in a vision and says that. So Abram said, Lord God, what can you give me seeing I go childless? And I'll try not to get distracted on all this. Not where we're going today. He said, you know, this steward of my house is going to be my heir. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And Abram believed in the Lord. Did Abram believe? Did he believe what God told him? Was Isaac born in the next year or two? Was Ishmael born in the next year? Yes. What happened? If you don't know, Ishmael was born from Abram and one of the maids, because Sarah and Abram had this great idea, and I think it was probably actually Sarah, but you know, God's promised us a child. It's not working. It's not happening. So here, take my maid and have a child with her. Well, guess what kind of can of worms that opened? But Abram believed in the Lord. What happened? Time. Don't despise time. God said that to me right as I was walking out the door of my office. I had to go back and write it in my notes. Stop despising time. Because in that time between the promise and Isaac being born, you know what God was doing? He was teaching them and walking them through how to operate in faith. Abram never quit. He took a wrong turn, but he never quit. And God never quit. And when God reveals something to your heart, you're supposed to do this, or you're supposed to do that, or there's just a desire in your heart that hasn't been fulfilled yet. When time comes into play, you've got to be really careful. Or you start complaining, doubting, or looking for plan B. And plan B is a detour off of plan A, and God can work with it. It doesn't have to be a dead end, but it's costly. It's costly. And so don't despise time. Use time. And I know that's real easy for me to say. Use the time. Let God use the time while you're waiting patiently. It might not be that your desire is wrong. It might be that your maturity is wrong. See, I wanted to be married. That's all I ever wanted, be married and have children. I married at 18, fresh out of high school. That was a godly desire. But my maturity was not there. I'll use a personal example because you don't want me using yours. Your desire may be godly, but either maybe it's just not time yet, like me and Rusty. I was not supposed to approach that man about the land yet. I was not. If I had, I might have blown the whole thing. So don't despise time. God is for you, and if he's planted something in your heart, if he's sown something in your heart, and you know it's a godly, righteous desire in your heart, don't despise the time, use the time. Grow in the time. And trust God. As Psalm 16:11 says, you'll show me the path of life. That's a promise. Father, you will show me the path of life. That's my life. See, I'm busy looking at everybody else's. No, he'll show me the path for my life. You'll show me the path of life. And in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. That means even if there's time between when a desire comes up in me to where it is fulfilled, I can be in pleasure and I can be in fullness of joy if I stay in his presence. Don't start doubting the promise. The desire may be right. The time just may not be right. And believe that he'll show you the steps. Amen? Amen? I hope that wasn't hard. I hope it was encouraging. I hope it was encouraging because learning how to wait, it's maturing. Amen. It's maturing. Patience is a gift of the Spirit. It doesn't happen in the flesh. And so, catching ourselves and stopping ourselves from complaint and discouraging words. Our own words. We discourage ourselves. You know, I love the scripture about David that when he was in a tough spot, you know, the village had been ransacked and people taken captive and his own people were wanting to kill him. And it says, you know, there wasn't anybody there to encourage him. So what did he do? He encouraged himself in the Lord. And if you is all you got, you can encourage yourself. Yes. And how do you do that? Words, controlling your thoughts, It's places you don't let your mind go, and you certainly don't let what's in your mind come out your mouth. But you look in the mirror, you see who you are in Christ, and you trust that He knows your inward making. And when the time's right and He gives you the green light, you will know it. And until then, wait. Amen? Amen. Y'all can stand. And Rusty gets to hunt new land this fall.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. With his new bow. Oh, Matt's clapping for you. And no, we don't let anybody else hunt the land. Let me just say it. Praise God. He is faithful. He is faithful that promised. And if you're walking with Him and there's a desire on the inside of you, then you know if it's from Him. And just know that God's at work. I think sometimes if we could see God's end of things, we would just be amazed at the mountains He has to move to get promises fulfilled to you. The people He has to get to be obedient, to do what He's asking them to do, that needs to make something else happen for that domino to fall and that domino to fall and that. And I mean, He's God, but He still has to deal with humans. Bless Him. We want to be obedient humans for Him, don't we? So, Father, right now we submit our hearts, our desires. And, Father, I just want to say, we as a congregation, individually, lay our achievements at the throne of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we say these achievements are nothing without You. Begin to mold us, Father. Begin to make our hearts tender. Any desires for achievement that have risen up on the inside of us, selfish ambition, pride. Father, we want You to work those things out of us. Talk to us about them. Our ears are willing to listen. And Father, we ask that You place in us the desires that match our makeup, that match what You've placed in us and match what You've called us to do. For no calling of God is small. For the fathers in the room who are raising children and influencing generations, for the mothers in the room, the grandmothers in the room, the teachers in the room, the co-workers in the room. Father, there is no place that You have placed us that is not important and without purpose. We begin to see it. We ask that You grow us in it. Any desires that need to be changed will be changed in us. And they'll come to match Yours. And when they match Yours, You'll direct our step. We'll be obedient. And You'll get us where we need to be. And the kingdom of God will grow and You will be glorified. And we thank You for it. We thank You for it. Only what's of You, Father. Only what's of You. Rest will be with it. For those who have been impatient, Father, I just thank You that Your Spirit is ministering to them. That You are at work to fulfill every desire that You've placed in their hearts. Not to despise the time. But we're here to grow. We thank You for it. Thank You for it. Father, I dismiss these people, not out of Your presence, but into it. For where they go, You go. They'll be a light and salt. As part of their daily purpose, it is no small thing when they leave this place. But may they be built up by Your word, able to speak into people's lives, including their own. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen.